give him praise this morning. Hosanna to the one, the Lamb. Good morning, my name is Marlon. I'm part of the team here. Welcome to this time of prayer and praise. I just want to say, in this time, as I'm thinking and just attaching my heart to Jesus, what are you saying in this time? And I think about all the things in life that we need or that we encounter. And the scripture that comes to my mind is this: ask, you shall receive, seek, and you will find, and knock, and it shall be opened to you. So if we're not getting something in life that we need or that we feel like is ours, then maybe we need to do more of this. How bad do you want it? Jesus wants to give it to you. Whether there's sickness in your body, whether there's a relationship that's broken, maybe you're wrestling with condemnation, guilt, shame. Jesus wants to set you free. Because like we were singing this morning, like Brax said, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And when you became born again, you became white as snow. And our mistakes and our failures don't change that. Our soul might get cloudy, but who you are in Jesus, you're still white as snow. And our mind will wrestle with saying something differently, but Jesus says, you're mine. And no man plucks you out of my hand. And that'll never change unless you choose to walk away from him and just say, I don't want you. So this morning, I just want to just dive into these prayer reports, but I just encourage you, if there's something that you want from God or that you're asking, how bad would you knock if you walk up to somebody's door? How frantic, if you're really frantic and something is inside there that you need or that you want, how hard would you knock? And would you stop? Probably not. I wouldn't. I'd probably run through the door. And so this morning, I just kind of want to set the stage. We've got some praise reports. And even in this, I'm reminded is that in the kingdom, in Hebrews, he says, come boldly to the throne of grace. Why? Because he wants to give it to you. He wants us to believe for all the good that he has for us. So we're going to come boldly to the throne of grace this morning. But first, Philippians 4:6, he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. The reason that he wants us to be thankful is because he wants you to understand that he wants to give it to you. And when we understand that, we can be thankful for it because I believe it'll happen. So don't be thankful for anything less. Believe for it, for whatever you need. We have some praise reports this week. Had some prayer requests come for healing, the biopsy reports, and those came back negative. So we praise God for that. And also for a pregnancy that was a big concern about that some doctors, they said there's maybe something going on with the baby, but everybody joined together. We spoke life over that baby, and it came back, and she's totally fine. So let's praise God for that. Thank you. For this week, we have some requests for test results to be negative and healing for continued prayers for pregnancies and babies that are on the way. So let's just let's join together for that in whatever posture you want to take. If you want to stretch your hands out toward the screen, we're going to believe God. And if you have something going on in your life, you want to raise your hands, God can touch you right where you're at this morning. But let's just agree together, and let's pray for these requests that came in this week. So Jesus, we come boldly to the throne of grace this morning for mercy and for help for in this time of need. And for those who have asked for physical healing, we speak life over their body. We speak wholeness, and nothing is impossible with you. We ask that you would touch them right now, whether for those who have asked, they receive. We speak just a negative biopsy report for the person who has asked. In the name of Jesus, we speak life over you. We speak wholeness over you. And for every baby in this room or any baby in the sound of my voice, I speak life over you. I speak protection over you. That according to Psalms 91, you give your angels charge over them to keep them, to protect them, and that nothing should happen to them. And for anyone in this room, God, who needs healing in their body, ask that you would touch them right now where they're at and bring wholeness, bring life, bring restoration, who you are, your kingdom coming to this world right now. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. A couple more things. This week we have a prayer walk at 5th and Madison, the church building that is being renovated. From 6:30 until 8 o'clock, anybody's welcome to come. Just going to spend some time, walk through, pray, and just hang out together and have a good time. So anyone's welcome this Wednesday from 6:30 until 8. And then also, Gene wanted me to talk a little bit this morning about the pledge cards, and they should have been on your seats. Next week will be the launch for that, so just be praying about it and see what God, you know, would have you to give into this. And with that being said, is that I realize that sometimes this can be a touchy topic about, you know, feels like people are begging. Well, I'm just here to tell you this morning, I don't get a dime of your money, so don't shoot me. But what I want to say is that I want to just challenge your perspective this morning, maybe a little bit. My perspective was challenged years ago. I used to have a poverty mindset to where I just felt like God didn't want you to flourish, didn't want you, basically you needed to be poor because he told that one guy, go sell all that you have and give to the poor and then you'll find treasure in heaven. Well, he only said it to that one guy because that's all the one guy cared about. I'm here to tell you this morning, God is a God that wants you to prosper. He wants you to live an abundant life. And I believe part of that is this thing of giving. I want to give you this analogy this morning. This is what's in my heart, is that there's some farmers in here. I know there's one in the back for sure. And I believe there's more farmers in here, but this is a pretty simple analogy. What would you think about a farmer that took a seed of corn and he took it out into the field and he planted it? But then come harvest time, he would never expect a harvest. And he would put that seed into the ground and he would put into the ground and be like, I have to do this because I'm a farmer, so I'm going to put my seed into the ground. Wouldn't we think that's a little crazy? Why does a farmer take a seed and plant it into a ground? It takes one small piece of corn, put it in there, here comes this corn stalk, and out comes this whole cob, right? Hundreds. We don't shame farmers. We think that's awesome, right? Because it benefits everybody. That's a good thing that they sow that seed. And in the same way this morning, I'm going to challenge you. It's not about the size of the gift, but it's about the condition of our hearts. So when we take a gift, whether it's a dollar or $1 million, to God, it's about the condition of the heart. So I just want to encourage you this week, think about this. And as you purpose in your heart, according to the word, so give. And I've been burned in the past, but the truth is that when I give, and especially the more that I give and the bigger amounts that I give, I take my check and I look at it and I say, in Jesus' name, I speak life over this gift and this offering and I sow it into the kingdom. I don't sow it into necessarily a specific person. It doesn't. If I'm giving it to a person, that's great. But I sow it into the kingdom because in the kingdom, nobody can steal my seed. But if you give it to somebody with expectations and they don't meet those expectations, your seed dies, or it has for me. But I just refuse to believe that anything that I've sown in the past has died, because when I gave into the kingdom of Christ. And in his kingdom, numbers don't make sense. One will turn into a million. And why? because we know what we will do with these funds. It's not about a new Ferrari or all those things, but it's about that we can help people. We can take the gospel to the lost. We can give to the window across the street, and we can influence people with the gospel. And that's what I believe that Jesus wants us to do as the light of the world. So just take some time with that, either today, if you know what you want to do, awesome. You can fill it out. You can put it in the boxes in the back. There's red boxes in the back. You can also give that way. But just ask yourself, according to your heart, what am I happy with giving? Because God loves a cheerful giver. So that's all I'm going to say about that. God bless you. And just, Jordan's going to come up and give us the word this morning, and just know that God is going to speak through him. So let's just engage and get all we can get.
You can be seated. Let's go. Well, how's everybody doing this morning? I was standing in the back. It feels like we're a really like somber crowd. Is it because Notre Dame lost last night? What is going on, y'all? Can we have some energy? How's everybody doing this morning? Thank you. Believe me, I was up last night as well watching the game, and then I had an extended time as I was just coughing till like 2:30. So I'm tired too, but I want to give it my all this morning. And I need your help with that. Feel free to shout at me back, whatever have you, but let's really engage this morning because I believe something good's going to happen. Well, if you don't know me, my name is Jordan, and I'm part of the team here. I lead our student ministry, so hey, students, good morning, y'all. You're looking good this morning. I'm humbled that I get to stand here this morning and be a part of this conversation, share in this conversation as we are in week number 4 of this series called Fear. In each of the last couple weeks, we have looked at some pretty controlling fears that, if we're honest with ourselves, have played out in our lives at some point or another. And I was thinking back to when Pastor Gene came to us as staff. And he said, hey, for October, we're going to spend 4 weeks and we're going to be in conversation about the fears in our lives. And at first, I kind of breezed past his thought. But it was after our first conversation we had together, the first weekend, where we talked about the fear of rejection, I really related with it. And that following Tuesday, Pastor Gene came to us as staff and said, hey, us as staff, what's your greatest fear? What's your greatest fear? What's the thing that you fear most in life? And if you know Pastor Gene, if you know Pastor Gene at all, he loves early mornings. Like, he can wake up, go have a workout, go get his car washed, have breakfast, have a meeting, have another meeting, all by 8 a.m., and it's absolute craziness. And I don't know why I would put it past him to shoot us staff a text at 7:30 a.m. in the morning, and he asked us on that Tuesday, greatest fear, ... What is it? Let's talk about it at 9. And I was just thinking, you know, like, who needs coffee when you have to ponder this type of question at 7:30 in the morning and then have an answer when you're standing in front of your peers by 9 o'clock? Like, I'm 8.5 years into having kids, and this is a true story that it's not till most recent that I'm able to get up and, like, make decisions of what my kids will eat for breakfast in the morning. Like, I struggle. Is anybody else there? Can I get a witness? Okay, you're all awesome. That's just incredible. But I stared in the mirror and I started to think, seriously, what is my greatest fear? And the more I stared in the mirror, I believe God was starting to remind me of that previous conversation that we had in week 1. And you know what gets me worked up the most? What gives me the most anxiety? What constantly my brain just starts going nuts and won't shut off is the fear of rejection.
See, I have this desire for people to like me. My longing to have a place at the table, to be a part of the conversation, and to fit in. There's this sense of control that plays out in my life. If I can control that situation, then that means I can get to this outcome. If I can control what this person thinks of me, then something inside of me feels more at ease. I can't even try to explain it to you. And every time I teach, the content of whatever I'm teaching on really hits me hard, if I'm honest with you. God seems to always work on me first and show me things in my life while I'm prepping for a message that I know I just can't lay aside and just continue on researching and writing a message. That I learned that God is working inside of me, that there are some things in my life that I do need to surrender to God, that I need to lay down before him. Because here's the truth, y'all. We like to be in control. We like to be in control of things. And this morning, we are going to look at week number 4 here, the fear of losing control. So if you're taking notes, that's where we're going this morning. But before we get there, let me ask you a couple of questions to kind of loosen us up. You can just kind of think in your head for it. This is not a raise your hand or nudge the person next to you or say, hey, he's talking about you. No, it's not anything like that. But number one, do you believe you know what's best? Do you believe you know what's best? Number two, do you freak out when things don't go your way? Do you find yourselves wanting to correct others? Number four, do you need to be in control in this life? And number five, for this is specifically for my wife, is your way to load a dishwasher the only way? Oh, it's a constant struggle in our house. Hey. We're going to start a crew next season, okay? Over these past couple of weeks, we've been looking at a verse, and it's going to be up on the screen behind us. It's out of 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. It says this, "For God has not given us what?" Say it with me. Spirit of fear. But instead, God has given us a spirit of power and of love. And what's the third thing? Yeah, a sound mind. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but instead, God has given us a sound mind. And so with that this morning, would you bow your heads? We're going to pray because I believe we need God in this place. And so this morning, Jesus, I thank you for your goodness and your grace over our lives. We are grateful for the ways in which you work and you move in our families, in our friends, God, in our coworkers' lives. And this morning, God, I'm grateful for the way you have worked and are still continuing to work in our church, in our ministries, from kids to our host team, to our worship team, God. And honestly, one of my favorites, our student ministry. And so, God, this morning, we lean in. We look to you in these next couple moments, and we look forward to hearing your word, letting us change us from the inside out. We lay down our control this morning. And for me, God, help me find a new college football team because I'm over Notre Dame. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Okay, now let's get to it. Raise your hand with me, though, if you like to be in control in some areas of your life. It's okay. I'm not going to point you out. Everybody else is going to look at you, but whatever. Yeah, it's really interesting, isn't it? We like to control things in our lives, and we like to control different areas of our lives. There are some things that you might be super in control of, but there might be other areas where you're kind of more hands-off. Some of us may be really controlling at work, but when it comes to our home life, we're a little more laid back. Or it might be the opposite. Some of us might be super in control of our finances, but when it comes to our parenting, we're a little bit more forgiving, we're a little bit more reserved, we're a little bit more hands-off. See, we're controlling in some areas more in other areas and not so much in others.
In my family, I'm rather laid back around the house. I don't get worked up about too much in my house. But my wife, Krista, on the other hand, when it comes to our kitchen, it's on. Like, she has her rules. And it's okay. She read over my message. She knows I'm going to be talking about this morning. She has a specific way for everything in the kitchen. And that's why I'm here this morning. I feel like God has given me an assignment with this week four conversation to speak directly to her, to have God flow through me, and for her to receive this morning. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. But in all honesty, can we all be in agreement this morning that a refrigerator, the fridge in your household, at some point or another is going to be opened, right? Can we all agree with me? It's going to open and it's going to close, yeah? Okay, if you come over to my house, you better know exactly what you're looking for when you approach the fridge, because if not, somebody is going to be looking at you and she's going to be telling you to close the door. You can't take excess time. Like, and for me, it's nuts. I'll go to the fridge and I'll want milk and I'll pull out eggs because I'm so freaking out. It's like, I don't know what, eggs, right? You know, close the door. It's just, and it's ironic though. Our fridge is kind of like messing up right now. So I don't believe it's about opening and closing the door because, I mean, they have doors on it, right? It just makes sense. But for me though, let's get to me. For me, my two boys, they know that when after Dad gets done mowing the lawn, they're not to play, let alone lay a foot in the front yard, because I love those perfect straight mowing lines that I just created in the yard. There's no way I'm letting little footprints destroy the perfectly mowed lines that I just made that everyone can that drives by can look in awe and be like, wow. Right? But here it is. The reason that so many of us fear losing control is because control is something that we have never had in the first place. We live under this illusion that if we do everything just right, then the events of that will come out how we want them to. And the ironic thing is this, that oftentimes the things that we desire most in life, the things that are most precious to us, are the very things that are most out of your control. See, when we look at our lives, we typically try to control two broad areas, the first one being people and the second one being circumstances. And these two areas can get out of control in a hurry. See, we try to control people. There might be someone in your life where there's one or two things that really bug you about them. And so we like to play God. God being that he loves people and has a wonderful plan for our lives. We like to play God and think we love people and we have a wonderful plan for their life, right? And so we want to help them see and understand what we want them to see. And so here's what we do. We manipulate, we bribe, we offer rewards, we use passive-aggressive behavior because we believe we know best for their lives. Oh yeah, I've been there, for sure. We also try to control circumstances. We want the future to be ours, right? We have it all mapped out. We want it to look just right, and we want to be in control of our schedules and our finances. And we want to fill our schedules and to make them look nice and pretty and full because that makes us look really important, like we have it all together. But I was looking through this message, doing a little bit of research, and there's this author. His name is Ken Blanchard. He has a book by the title Lead Like Jesus. And I kind of gained some truths from him. When we control our lives, we become godlike. When we take control, we begin to edge God out. We begin to edge God out. We think to ourselves, I know the outcome, and I believe I can get it, and it's through me the best way that I can get it. So we force things. We manipulate situations and conversations, and we throw this whole like trust God thing right out of the window. But here's what it says in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. See, the more we try to control something, the more we begin to fear losing that control. And the more we fear losing control, the more we try to keep the control and we hold it even tighter. And then suddenly we spiral into this cycle of just fear, fear, fear in this situation, in that situation, and in this outcome, and all of that. Go with me to Genesis if you have your phone on your Bible app. We're going to jump to chapter 16 in just a second, but before we get there, I want to give you some background. If you don't have a Bible, it's going to be on the screen behind me. We're going to look at a story. And in this story, there's this couple named Abram and Sarai, who later had their names changed, is what you might know them as Abraham, right? Father Abraham and his wife Sarah. But Abram and Sarah had this tremendous problem, like most of us, trying to control outcomes of certain situations. You can read one story earlier in Genesis 12 where Abram was worried about Sarai's safety, so his wife's safety, because he was thinking that some men might do something inappropriate to her. So then rather than trusting her to God, he does like so many of us, he manipulates the situation. He lies about who she was, and he says, hey, she is really my sister, not my wife. So what did he do? He took control of the situation. But the biggest example, though, is when God said to them, I'm going to bless you both with a son. And you will be parents of many nations. Y'all know this story, right? This great promise. You're going to have so many descendants that will be more than the sand on the seashore, more than the stars in the sky. God promised this childless couple who for years could not conceive. And God says, you're going to give birth. And there's going to be many nations that are born from you. Like, what a promise. What an incredible promise by God. But get this, when God didn't immediately do what God promised to do, over time, Abraham and Sarah did what so many of us do. They tried to take control of their own destiny, and what do? They step over God's promise. We see this in Genesis chapter 16, starting in verse 1. It says this, now Sarai, Abram's wife, had not been able to bear children for him, but she had an Egyptian servant named Hagar. So Sarai said to Abram, the Lord has prevented me from having children. Go and sleep with my servant Hagar. Perhaps I can have a child through her. So in other words, this might be familiar to you. I know God has a promise for me, right? But, man, he's just not doing it in my time. So I can't just, like, sit around. Time is not on my side. I needed this outcome, like, yesterday, and he promised me. Where is he at? So I'm just going to take control. Listen, believe me, I know what's best. I can go get it done. He promised me. I mean, I'm still kind of walking in his promise, right? But here's what happened. We begin to believe we can make God's promise or make God's promise happen under our own strength. But what really happens is we edge God out and take control of what he promised us. We read on. It says, Abram agreed with Sarai's proposal. So Abram's wife took Hagar, the Egyptian servant, and gave her to Abram as a wife. And so Hagar ends up becoming pregnant. And when Abram and Sarai edged out God in this story, It's impossible to describe to you all the chaos of what taking control did, not only in their lives, but for centuries and centuries to come. It's a fascinating read. If you would read on, you would see that Hagar gave birth to a son, and they named him Ishmael. And sometime later, God did end up blessing Abram and Sarah with a son, and they named him Isaac. And if you can imagine that, there's so much tension around Hagar and Sarai and Ishmael and Isaac that centuries later, you would still see wars and chaos between the descendants of Ishmael and Isaac. And it all traces back, all that traces back to when one couple decided to edge God out. Now, the chances are you're sitting here thinking, yep, Jordan, I get it. I am not going to go sleep with a servant named Hagar, right? Yeah. But maybe you've been forced in something in your life. You've forced something, whether a situation, a conversation. You might have tried to manipulate an outcome. Maybe you've compromised along the way. You made a very bad long-term decision for maybe it's this short-term benefit, and you've edged God out to make it happen. And you compromise something that is far less than what God wanted for you, far less than God's best for you. When you take control or fear losing it, I want you to write this down, because what do we do with this? We get it. We like to control things. I mean, we see it all the way back in the Old Testament. So what do we do as followers of Jesus? Even if you haven't made that commitment this morning, I believe these are things that you can grab hold of when you go outside of these four walls. Yeah, they're kind of four. I have no idea. But you go on your Mondays, your Tuesdays, your Wednesdays, your Thursdays, your Fridays, and when you start to control something, here are some things that I believe you can take with you to help you. First off, you got to ask, what are you trying to control? I bet there's something in your life that you're trying to control, that you're trying to manipulate, that you're trying to force. What is it that you're trying to control? Is it people? Is it close friends around you? Maybe it's your kids, or maybe it's your job and the future of your job. Maybe it's your image, what people think about you, your future, your kids' future. What are you trying to control? And when you start to identify in this in your life, this area, I want to give you three questions that you can ask yourself over and over again that can help us all fight this fear of losing control. Like, we don't want to let it go because it feels like it's just going to be left to chance, right? Question number one, write this down. Is it worth my concern? Is it worth my concern? There was this one time when Jesus was walking on this earth, and he was going to visit the house of Mary and Martha. Martha, great example of this, trying to control something that honestly didn't matter much. She wanted everything just perfect. And I get it, because Jesus was coming over, right? Jesus was coming over. So Martha is just freaking out and going on and on and on that she needs to do this, that, and she even goes to Jesus and says, hey, Jesus, you need to go have a conversation with Mary because she's lazy. She's not doing anything. And all I want is the house to be perfect because, Jesus, you're here. But here's what Jesus says in Luke chapter 10, verse 41. He says, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are indeed, only one. And Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. See, the question, is it worth getting upset over? Is this control, is it worth your concern? Is it worth my concern? And I'm telling you that many of us, me too, we're trying to control things that, honestly, they just don't matter. They just don't. We fear letting it go, and a month from now, Is it really going to matter? Does it really matter if someone doesn't pack the dishwasher just right? Or for me? I always love having those stripes, like I said, in my yard. I want a nice yard, and it looks pretty good. But is it really worth my concern that there are footprints in my yard? I mean, you guys should, like, if there was a video camera, like, there's been points of, like, I've yelled at my boys. Like, is it really worth my concern? And it dawned on me, you know what? I need to embrace those little footprints with everything inside of me. My boys love running around the house. They have friends over, and the neighbors come over, and they love just, like, running around the house and playing. They're smiling. They're laughing. They're enjoying life. They're making the most of the moment that they are in. And you know what? One day, I won't have those little footprints in my front yard. One day, I will have this beautiful front lawn that with perfectly mown stripes made by my Simplicity zero-turn mower. That's not a sponsored post, by the way. Going to be no little footprints in there. And I'm going to be proud of it. Soon enough, my boys will be all grown up. See, I need to embrace the footprints. Is it really worth my concern of having put footprints in the front yard? Because I have this incredible gift right now with two boys being able to play and run around and enjoy life. So ask yourself, is it really worth your concern? Is it really worth my concern? So number two is this. Is it mine to control? Now let's be real. Sometimes the answer is yes. When you're trying to control something, the answer is sometimes yes. It's yours to control. There's something for you to do about it. But there are other times when it's no. Because surrendering control is not the same as relinquishing responsibility. That was a good one. That's like tweet worthy right there. Example, if you're in a tough spot financially, you probably should cut back on your spending. You can have a mentor in your life help you. You can learn to budget. You can do something about it. If your marriage is in a difficult spot, you can do something about it. You can pray together. Be open to counseling. Join a crew when we launch our next seasons of crew. Get date nights and date days on your calendar. Can you do something about it? Yes. But there are other times when there are things that are completely out of control. Ask yourself, is it mind to control? If we jump over to James, we find in chapter 4, verses 13 and 14, that clearly says that there are some things that are not in our control. James says this, "Now listen, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go to this city or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money." He says, you think you have it all planned out? You know exactly what is going to happen? You don't even know what will happen tomorrow. You can't control tomorrow, so how are you going to control a year from now? So ask yourself, is it worth my concern? Is it mine to control? Or, number three, is it God's alone? Ask these questions when you feel like you're wanting to control a situation. Remember to embrace the footprints that are in your life. When you're trying to control situations, that's not yours to control. We use this verse every week at Restore during our prayer and praise time. It's Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. It's powerful. Paul told the Philippians something incredible. He said, do not be anxious about what? Do not be anxious about what? Yeah. How many of you are anxious about something right now? Be bold. Yeah. When you are anxious about something is when you're trying to control something that might not be yours to control. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, what's he say? By prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Incredible. You give it to God. You trust it to God. You lay it down, you surrender to God. And when you do that, it goes on to say, Paul goes on to say in verse 7, this is incredible. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds. I love this. When you give it to God, the peace of God will guard your heart and your mind. In other words, when you try to control something that you weren't meant to control, you get anxious. But when you give it to God, man, he gives us peace in that situation. Many of us, because of our need for control, we're trying to get to this specific outcome, and we get stressed and we get anxious because we're trying to control something that is for God alone. It's for God alone. When we surrender it, it's incredible. God gives us peace. So if you're following along with me, I want to give you some yes or no questions. Can you control your spouse? Oh boy, we're not sure. Can you control your spouse? No. that was tough practice. That wasn't a trick question. No, we can't. But what can you do? You can love your spouse. You can pray for your spouse. You can encourage your spouse. But you can't change them. So what do? If your spouse needs changing, you trust them to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all of understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds. Can you heal your loved one that is sick? Can God? Yeah. So what can you do? You can pray for them. You can encourage them. You can help them get good medical advice. But ultimately, what do? You trust them to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds. Last one, can you control your future? No. What can you do? You can pray. You can plan. You can get wise advice. I'm going to close with this story. Think back to Abram. What did Abram want more than anything else? Help me out. What did he want more than anything else? A son. What did God give him? A son. Let me go one step further. What did God ask him to sacrifice? His son. For those of you who aren't familiar with the story, it's the most amazing thing. God promises Abram a son. God delivers on that promise. Abram has the son that he has always desired having, but here's what happened next. God comes and speaks to Abram again and asks him the most craziest question to me. I mean, I can't even fathom being asked this of me. God asks Abram to lay down the life of his son. Wait, what? What, God? What? And every time I hear this story, there's just something inside of me, especially now with my two boys, just, I can't even imagine. I can't even imagine. The trust that Abram has in God, and that's hard for me to say this morning. It's hard. That's my human self. But not so long ago, Abram was trying to control outcomes, right? He was trying to control situations, and to now see the faith and the trust that Abram has in God, it's nothing short of God changing him. So a father for years and years who walked on this earth, prayed for his son, tells his son, hey buddy, grab some wood for a fire. We're gonna go up the Mount Moriah over here, and we're gonna build an altar and have a sacrifice. So they're walking up, the son's carrying the wood, if you can imagine. Just dad and son walking along. Can you imagine what's going on in Abram's head at that moment? Knowing what God just asked him to do. His little buddy right beside him. The little guy is thinking, well, I mean, I've got the wood. But where's the animal for the sacrifice? Hey, Daddy, where's the animal for the sacrifice? Abram, in that moment, I believe he looked down at his son and said, God will provide. The Lord will provide. It's powerful. And the guy who wanted to control everything in his life, they've walked up to the top of the mountain. They're there. Builds the altar. What does he do? Picks up his little guy. Everything was inside him. He lays him down on the altar. Picks up the knife. Raises it up. All of a sudden, an angel comes and says, don't lay a hand on him. I see the trust you have in God. Abram looks right next to the altar, and there, tangled up in the bush, was a ram for the sacrifice. Abram went over and took it and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abram called that place, the Lord will provide. When Abram finally surrendered what he controlled the most, of that which he wanted the absolute most in this life, he saw the miraculous provision of God. He surrendered what he valued most, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guarded his heart and his mind. And I came here to tell somebody today that you're trying to control something that's not yours to control. It's simple. And when you know it's not yours to control, you'll know it by the anxiety and the fear that builds up inside of you, because God does not give us a spirit of fear, church. I want to tell you, when you take what belongs to God and to God alone and you lay it down on his altar, you will know God as Jehovah Jireh, which means he is our provider. That he will provide everything that you need in this life. If we lay down even what we think we want, God will give us what we ultimately need. So bow your heads with me. There might be some of us this morning that have this need to control something, and you realize you have a problem controlling things. You're trying to control situations and circumstances. Maybe it's your image. Maybe it's the people around you, your friends, your coworkers. Maybe it's even your kids. But by faith this morning, I believe that we can lay that down and we can give that to God. There's some of us that might need to embrace the footprints in our front yards. Is it really worth my concern? If it's not, then let it go. Is the situation yours to control this morning? If it is, do something about it. If it's not, then let it be God's alone. Maybe there's some of you that something that is out of your control, and you want that peace of God over your life. You want it to rest over you. If you've resonated with any of those this morning, in just a second, as the band leads us in this closing song, we're going to have our prayer team up front that are here to stand with you, to stand by you, to encourage you, to support you, and to pray with you as we lay these things down to God. As we close this morning, I'm going to leave you with this. Whenever fear enters your life and you allow the faith of God to break through the wall of fear, on the other side of that fear, you will often find God's blessing. You fear rejection, you don't want to be hurt. The faith of God in you breaks through that wall of fear, and on the other side of fear, you're going to find relationships that God desires for your life. You fear failure. When God penetrates that fear, on the other side of that wall, you will find the blessings of God's success. And when you fear losing control, the faith of God in you breaks through the wall of that fear and on the other side of the wall, you're going to find God's peace. God, we come to you asking this morning that you would set people free this morning, that you would speak to us right here, right now, instead of edging you out, God, that we would trust you with everything inside of us. We lay down our control this morning. Jesus, I give up my control. Forgive me, God. Make me brand new. Be the Lord of my life. Be first. I surrender control. Amen. If that's you this morning, again, if you want somebody to stand with you, I'm going to ask the prayer team to come up front. Band's going to lead us in this last closing song. Take a step this morning.